This morning, as we talked about a new kind of holy, you ever think about what Jesus was trying to say when he said, we're going to have a new kind of holy? Well, you have to stop and you have to think about the Old Testament. We have to stop and think about how the Jews were really taught, how they had been raised. And as we know ourselves, the way that we're taught and raised by our family, it brings on many traditions, doesn't it? We have tradition about this. We have a tradition about that. Most of our traditions are on holidays. A lot of them are. A lot of them are every day that we do things just because that's the way mama said do them. You know what I mean? But I have kind of figured out, Brian, that I think my mama was a Jew and my daddy was a Gentile, you know, because she was always telling me, you need to be washing your hands. You need to wash your head. You need to wash your ears. You need to wash something. That was just as regular as everything. So I think she was kind of with the Jewish people instead of with the people like I am, because I just don't worry about it, you know.
I agree with your mama.
Brian, he enjoys being washing hands and not having any germs, so. But folks, we look at so many rules and regulations that the Jewish people had, and we're going to take a look at that this morning. They were just people that thought that there was a list of things that they needed to do, and it would maybe been a little better had it been a godly list, but it was basically a man-made list, and that was what really irritated Jesus. And so he begins to talk to them and call them out on how they were impure and they needed a change. The change being that they needed a change in their heart. They needed a change in the way that they looked at things and the way that they were open to different things. If you look at Mark 7, starting with the first verse, it says, one day some Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Imagine that. The Pharisees was always following Jesus around just to kind of catch him in some type of something that he said wrong, you know. They noticed that some of the disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand, washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Hear that, traditions. Similarly, but one of many traditions, similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, since such is the ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law asked him, why don't your disciples follow our old age-old tradition? See there again? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. And Jesus replied, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. There you go again with that tradition. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God. Now listen to what he said Moses has given them. Honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Well, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you, Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Now, look right there. That's verse 15. Had it been 16, in some King James Version, it says, those that have ears, let them hear. And then verse 17 says, then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and the disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Don't you understand either, he asked. Can't you see that the food you put in your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, even slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, there's a whole lot right here. I could almost say we're going to have about 30-minute preaching, and then we'll be back this afternoon to finish this up, because it is no way to cover this passage that we're in just a few minutes. But as we take a look at this, folks, we're seeing that Moses had said that we were to honor our mother and father. We know that we are to honor our mother and father. We know that. But they were adding to that. They had added their own little rules to it. They had put the things that they wanted in there. And so we see that as they begin to not only wasn't honoring their mother and father, they were also doing many things that the Jewish belief did not even require of them. It didn't require all of this washing. That was man-made. Traditions. You see what Jesus was getting at when he kept saying traditions, traditions. Folks, this is traditions that they had made, man-made traditions. And this is where we're at today. We have so many man-made traditions in our churches. We have so many man-made traditions in our homes. It has to happen this way. If it doesn't, then we're outside of God's realm of love. And that is not true, folks. That is not true. And so he told the people, he told them, he said, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. That's all you are. Can you imagine what them Pharisees thought when Jesus told them, you're just a bunch of hypocrites? I mean, he has kind of talked to them in a bad way before, but he's telling them, you're not worth the salt that it takes, you know, to put you together. He is saying, you are a bunch of hypocrites. Isaiah was right, and he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, traditions is a wonderful thing. I know Mom had some traditions that she done, and Tammy was on top of that this year, being the first Christmas that we didn't have Mom with us. She continued some of the traditions that Mom had set up for our little family, and the kids love it. You know, they love it. And that's what it's all about. It makes for a traditional Christmas that we have kind of grown to be used to for, you know, many, many, many years. And it was wonderful that Tammy thought of Mom and she put that together, that we could all enjoy those traditions that we continued to enjoy while Mom was here. But folks, that's all it was. It didn't draw us any closer to Jesus. During the Christmas season, all of that stuff that we've been doing for 100 years, it hadn't drawn us any closer to Jesus. That doesn't have anything to do with our worship. Not one form thing. That's just things that our family has come to enjoy and like. And there's nothing wrong with it. But we have to know as Christians, we have to know when to single out what's a tradition to the world and what's a tradition to Christ and where we're supposed to be in our worship with Him. We have to know the difference, folks. For He told us, He said, it's a farce when you're trying to act like it. You're talking about me and your heart is far from me. It's just a lie. It's nothing to it. And so we see that he told them, he said, it's a bunch of man-made ideas, you know. So we see that these people are far from knowing who Jesus Christ is. So as we take a look at what he was saying to them about the traditions, he goes on to say that all of you need to listen. He said, and try to understand. So how many of us, folks, really and truly find it hard to sometimes listen to what Jesus is trying to tell us in the parables and find it kind of hard to understand? Do you really always know what Jesus is saying? No, it's hard sometimes to kind of, you have to stop and you have to really think about what he's kind of telling us. And so that was what the disciples were listening. They were right there with him. And, you know, they were like, well, I don't know. Did I really get that right? And so them being with him, they ask him. They ask Jesus what he meant by the parable he had just used. And he said, don't you understand either? He asked. Well, what he was talking about, folks, was when he was talking about taking care of your mother and father. And he said, we take money, our mother and father, our elderly mother and father. Now, you got to think about this, because Jesus is talking to this group of people. There is no Social Security. There is no welfare. There is no home health. There is no nothing to help anybody with anything. You got an elderly parent. You got an elderly parent. You got to see after them. And he said, so what they're doing is, instead of seeing after their parents like they're supposed to, he said, you're taking this money and putting it back in the name of the church. They called it a Corban, I believe, is what they called that at that time. Is that right, Brian? They called it a Corban. And what that meant was that I can take $1,000 out of my pocket and I can lay it here on this table, or I can give it to the treasurer of the church, or I can just put it up. I can just lay it up in a cabinet. It's set aside for the work of the Lord. No matter how bad my parents might need something, I can't spend that money on them. I can only spend it because I've set it aside for the Lord. And the church people, buddy, they loved that, because they were saying, just give it to us. We'll take care of it. You know, we'll handle that. You know how churches are. And today, especially in the big mega churches that we see, yeah, just send me that Corban. I'll take care of it for you. But Jesus was saying, you don't understand what's happening is they're setting aside this money. And then to take care of God's work, when their first work that they should be doing is putting a roof on their mom and dad's house. The first work they should be doing is going by Kroger and getting some groceries, taking to mom and dad. The first work they need to do is that they need to make sure they got a way to the doctor in the morning. You know, that's what you need to be doing. Instead, you're doing something that makes you look good by laying up a Corban for me, and that's not what needs to happen. You have a commandment, and it's been there since Moses' time, to take care of your father and mother. But instead, you had rather lay this money up and claim it's for me, and then 10 years from now, you'll go back, and if I'm not careful, you'll go back and you'll say, I got 1,000 or 10,000 laying there in a Corban. I think I'm just going to go ahead and use that for me. And we did not take care of the people that we should. And so that's what Jesus was saying. He said, don't you understand either? He asked, can't you see that the food you put into your body, what he's saying is what you're putting in your body, folks, what you believe, what you're trying to check, the list you're trying to check, it's no good. This list is no good. He said, don't you understand what you're trying to put into your body? It's just food is not anything about food that's going to hurt you. You remember about Peter? Peter wouldn't eat what? He wouldn't eat hardly anything because it was unclean. What'd God do in Acts, what's that, 9? Maybe somewhere in there, right along there, about Acts 9. He give him a vision, let down a vision with all the animals in this sheet. And he said, Peter, this is clean. All of this is clean. You can eat any bit of this, every bit of this that you want. Acts 10. Yeah, I knew I was close there, but I couldn't. Acts 10 is where that's at, if you'd like to look it up. But it tells us that God told Peter. He said, Peter, it's all good. But we know, too, that in Galatians, and I won't try to tell you exact chapter of that, Peter struggled with basically the same thing again. Paul had to call him out about it because Paul said he eat with the Gentiles and then he eat with the Jews and then he wouldn't go back and eat with the Gentiles because of what they was going to say about him. But anyway, Peter had to line him up again. Paul had to line Peter up again. So we see, folks, that Peter struggled with this uncleanliness as well. What was it? It was a checklist. That's all it was. It was a checklist that Peter was hitting. It didn't. None of this make any sense. But that's us today, folks. That's us today. We have a checklist about everything. We got to get to church. We got to take communion. We got to get to church. We got to do this. We got to get to church so I can't miss church Sunday. I can't do that. I got to be at church come Sunday. You know, we've got so many things that we check off. But how many of us do this checklist just so that maybe Wayne will see me do this? Maybe he'll say, well, I tell you what, old Mike, he's doing pretty good. You know, he's always doing pretty good. That's no good, is it, Wayne? Not at all. Not at all. Because if my heart's not in it, folks, if my heart's not in it, then what's the use of me coming? What's the use of me being here? Why would I take the time to try to talk to you and to tell you if my heart's not in it? It's crazy. We shouldn't. So Jesus goes on and he says, he's talking about the food that people are not eating, but it's basically the same thing as what we're doing with our relationship with our Lord. And he said, can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. But he's saying also, all the stuff that we hear, all the stuff that we do, it's all that stuff, it's just sewage. That's all it is. It's just sewage. It comes in, it goes out. It's just sewage. But he says that, he said, every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. You're not going to be eating anything that's going to defile you. You can eat anything that God has made. It's all good. And then he added, it's what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within a person's heart come evil thoughts. Now, I know we don't ever have any evil thoughts, do we? Not me. I don't have any evil thoughts. What, I'd be standing here telling you a lie. I do have evil thoughts. I have them all the time. All the time. Tammy's told me before, you are a criminal at heart, dude. You are a criminal. I mean, amen. I understand a criminal. I know what a criminal is. Dickie Bomer knows what a criminal is. You can look at them and tell who they are and what they're going to do next. But I've heard Tammy tell me that, dude, the way you think is not right. It is not right. You are really a criminal at heart. And I really am. And it takes Jesus to keep that criminal from coming out in me, Scott, because that's what I am. I'm just a dirty sinner without God's grace. And you see, that is what it's all about. It's about His grace, because He says that we have these evil thoughts of sexual immorality, theft, and murder. Yeah, we all do. You know, when I was a kid, they used to rob Cottage Grove Bank about ever so often. We had some pictures of Sonny Crutcher standing there with a gun on some of them, holding them, you know. But what they didn't know was JT had a wire, and when they go in the bank at night, well, it would trigger that wire, and JT would just call up there and say, all right, Dickie, come out here and get these boys, you know. But that was Ralph Fields and Wells's day more than it was Dickie's. But that was the way that it was. I used to watch him do that. I'd be at grandmother and granddaddy's, and I'd watch them. They'd try to rob the bank at Cottage Grove. It'd be all kinds of stuff going on. Granddaddy, he was the little old town marshal, and he'd get up and go down there, and he'd say, they're going to learn someday that they can't do that. Well, what did that do to me? What did that do to me? I figured out a way to rob that bank. In my mind, sitting in school, I figured out a way to rob that bank. And I thinking all the time, I'm going to do it one of these days and just show them that they don't know nothing about robbing Cottage Grove Bank. All the time I was in school, I had all of these thoughts in my head. It was garbage in, wasn't it? It was just garbage in. I didn't like what they was telling me in school. I just think about all kind of stuff. So that was the way that life went. But folks, what kept me from doing that was God's grace. God's grace. The things that I used to think about, all the craziness that I had in my mind and in my heart, you put them aside. To say that you forget them, you won't forget them. But you put it aside. You don't desire for that to happen or for that to ever occur to you at all. You desire for everything you do to be for the glory of God. He said adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these are vile things that come from within. And they are what defile you. Folks, today we're living in a world where everything is okay. Everything is okay. Our kids, they don't have a clue what is not okay. Because only time they hear, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't even think about that. I mean, I heard that when I was a kid from my teachers. Don't you even be thinking about that, Mike. And, you know, I'd be thinking about something and they didn't have time. They knew what it was. I don't know. They just wired up to me or something. But anyway, we don't even think about the things that you're thinking about. Folks, the teachers can't even tell the kids that anymore. You stop and think about it. Where we're at in the world that we live, and we expect our kids to know and understand and to act better than they do, how in the world could they? How could they? Unless they're being brought to church, being put in church, you know, kids' church. Hear our word as they get bigger, and let our word be of God. How will they ever know? Folks, it's our responsibility as Christians to tell everyone about Jesus Christ, to tell everyone about how we have these thoughts and how we have the things that's inside us. But it don't have to materialize because Christ is there. He's there for us. He loves you. He is there. He has prayed for us. He has been on the cross and died for us. And he loves us so much that we don't have to go through with all of this evilness that's in the world. We can live for him. And what a blessing it is when we do, when we live for him. So we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, how in the world are we living? Is it just like the computer people say, garbage in, garbage out, you know? Is that what we're doing every day? We just put garbage in us and then we spit it all back out. The things we eat, it's all sewage, so it just goes into the sewer and goes on out. The things we think about, it's all sewage. It just goes in and we shouldn't think about them, but we do. But we sit and watch TV. You have so many things, folks, today that people, we as Christians, we like to say, okay, you know, here we are. This dude's on, he's on some kind of drugs. He's shooting up. He's smoking dope. He's doing everything. He robbed so-and-so. But if you stop and you think about it, folks, yes, all of that's true. You got them all around you. All of this is true. This whole list of things are happening around us. But if you stop and think about it, what are we doing? What are we doing as Christians? You ever stop and ask yourself, well, what am I doing? Well, last night I sat down and I ate about twice what I should. Was that okay? No, it's not okay. In one way, it's just like me taking a bunch of dope because I got started eating and I didn't want to quit. I just ate a bunch of it. You know, that's not okay. So there you go. You got things that you're doing. You look at your neighbor. You think about how he acts, how he's doing. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing to help him to know Jesus Christ? We're not. We're not. At all. You know, there's so much goes on in the world. Where we live is real far out, and we don't see much. But there was a kid, I just called it a kid, that's all I know, walking down there by the house the other night. And, you know, it was 9 o'clock, backpack full of stuff on its back, a dog with it. And when I decided to go down the road there and maybe talk to it, it got in a ditch and hid on the right side of the road. I went on by, and I thought, well, I'll come back, and I'll be facing it this time. And I wasn't sure if it was a boy or girl. And I come back, and it jumped across the road and got in a bigger ditch on the other side. But in the world that we live in, I could tell it was a kid, folks. But in the world that we live in, I told Tammy, I said, where I was at, I had no cell service. I had no way to call anybody or anything. But a kid could say, well, this dude stopped down here on the side of the road, and he's harassing me, and he threatened me, and he done this and that. I had no way for anybody to know any different. And so I chose to leave him in the ditch, go on, or leave her in the ditch, however what it was, and to go on. That's not how we should be living our life, folks. Scared to death of what others think, what others might say, what others might do. But when you're dealing with a minor, you need to be careful of what you do, and you need to have somebody with you, and you need to have somebody that can help you with situations like that. So I called up the sheriff's office and asked them if they'd come just check this kid out, because I don't know where he come from, never seen him before. So, folks, we have to know that we're in a different world than we've ever been in. And we have to know that the only answer to all of our problems is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that He died upon that cross for you. And as we take this turn and we go to looking at the cross, and He offers to us this new kind of holiness, you don't have to check a list each day. That's the last thing in the world He wants you to do. What He wants you to do is to have a relationship with Him, to get a new heart. Maybe it be here in your heart. Maybe it be here in your mind. He wants you to accept Him and to grow in Him and to be more like Him. And you've heard me tell this a million times. That's His desire, is for us to be like Him. And folks, until that desire crawls up in us and we have that desire to treat others like Christ treats us, then we're not going to have much better place to live. It's all the same. It's all going to be the same. If you're thinking about what you can do to your neighbor to get ahead, or what you could cut short to get ahead, then you're not getting anywhere. Not anywhere. So I want you to stop and think about this morning, that God offers to us through His Son Jesus a new kind of holiness. It's not one that the Jews knew. It's not one that the Jews tried to check off. It's one that offers us grace. He offers us love in a way that we have never had love given to us before. He will be right with you each and every day. Think about it as we go back into the world. It's a lot to think about, folks, when Jesus is telling us that we all are evil thinkers. I'll be the first to tell you, I have been and still am sometimes an evil thinker. I have to stop right where I'm at and tell the devil to get out from behind me. And I have to tell him, in the name of Jesus, you stay from out from behind me. Don't be pushing on me, because I will get the man after you that can make it happen. And he'll leave you alone. I guarantee you, he will leave you alone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.